For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Catherine Drew. The European Union has fined Google $2.7 billion for promoting its shopping comparison service and distorting results in search engines. The ruling gives Google 90 days to end these practices, which the European Commission deems break competition laws. FSN's Europe correspondent Jack Parrott reports.
The record-breaking $2.7 billion fine is a result of Google breaking EU antitrust rules. The internet company is deemed to have abused its market dominance by favouring its own shopping service in search result pages. The fine is more than double what many analysts had expected to be issued, but could have been up to $9 billion, equivalent to 10% of the annual turnover of Alphabet, Google's parent company. The internet giant denies the claims and is expected to appeal.
EU Competition Commissioner Margret Vestager says Google's practices disadvantage European consumers and businesses.
It has denied other companies the chance to compete on the merits and to innovate. And most importantly, it has denied European consumers the benefits of competition, genuine choice and innovation.
The White House has issued a strong warning to the Syrian government after it says it identified potential preparations for another chemical weapons attack. A statement said the activities were similar to those made before a suspected chemical weapons attack in April. FSN's Harry Horton has more from Washington.
The White House statement issues a stark warning to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. If he conducts another mass murder attack using chemical weapons, he and his military will pay a heavy price. After a suspected chemical attack by the Syrian regime in April left dozens of civilians dead, the US fired 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles at a Syrian airbase. It's not clear what new intelligence the White House has seen, but its threat to the Syrian government is obvious.
Activists say up to 60 people have been killed in US-led coalition airstrikes on a prison run by the so-called Islamic State in eastern Syria. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said 42 prisoners and 15 militants died when the prison was struck on Monday. Local media report dozens of civilians and Syrian rebel fighters were being detained at the facility. A number of banks, retailers and energy companies say they have become victims of a cyber attack in Ukraine and Russia. Kiev's main airport is among those to have been hit, with warnings that a number of flights could be delayed. The country's central bank and state power distributor are also reporting problems. Spanish media say some multinationals have become targets of the malware, which is prompting comparisons with the massive global ransomware assault known as WannaCry, which struck in May. For more on these stories, you can follow us on Twitter at FeatureStory. From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, Catherine Drew, and a warm welcome to Tuesday's programme. My name is Richie Allen. Hope you've had a lovely Tuesday. I really do. Lots to get through tonight. Two terrific guests as usual. You can tweet me from now on Twitter at Richie Allen Show. At Richie Allen Show. Tweet me now.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. The Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Yeah, Tuesday, June 27th of June 2017. Welcome to the show. Twitter is open to you. I've got two terrific guests lined up for you this Tuesday. Max Egan joins us live from Casares in southern Spain in the second hour. He's been writing and talking about the imminent rollout of 5G technology and the Internet of Things. What's really going on with that? Max has got some thoughts. He joins me in hour two. And coming up this hour, the journalist and author Chris Bolland is back on the programme. It's been a long time since Chris was on. He's dedicated his life to uncovering the truth about what happened on 9/11, of course. Tonight, he'll be talking about the war on terror, the truth behind the slogan. It's the basis of a forthcoming book for Chris. He joins us live from Sweden this hour in about 15 minutes time or thereabouts. Welcome. Live on davidicke.com. Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, TuneIn Radio and richieallen.co.uk. Always good to have your company. I want to get through a few things before Chris, so I will crack on. This from the BBC today. The United States has claimed it's identified potential preparations for another chemical attack in Syria, and it has issued a threat to the Syrian government. The White House said activities being monitored now are similar to those made before a suspected chemical attack in April. Dozens died, according to the BBC, in the April attack, which prompted Trump to order a strike against the Syrian air base. The US statement warned President Bashar al-Assad of a heavy price if another strike occurred. You heard that in the news there at the top of the hour. Another chemical weapons attack by the Assad regime was likely to result in the mass murder of civilians. That's a direct quote from the US State Department and the White House. As we have previously stated, the US is in Syria to eliminate the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. If, however, Mr. Assad conducts another mass murder using chemical weapons, he and his military will pay a heavy price. But absent from the reporting of the BBC today or anybody else is again that the journalist and whistleblower Seymour Hersh said over the weekend, proved in fact, that there was no intelligence to support the alleged attack in April. And in fact, Trump's intelligence people around him said there was absolutely no evidence that sarin gas was used by the Assad government. Now, UK Defence Secretary Michael Fallon was on Sky News today. Before we come to the latest allegations by the US against Syria, before we hear what he thinks about that, Fallon was asked about Islamic State opening a new front in the Philippines. This is what Fallon had to say about that.
Well, it's a reflection, I think, of the success the coalition is having in helping Iraqi forces drive IS out of Iraq, and the battle for Raqqa over in Syria is now underway. And I think it was inevitable that you'd see offshoots of IS spring up in other countries. That's already happened in Africa. It's happened in Libya. This is a worldwide terrorist phenomenon, and we have to now deal with it on a global basis. And we're in Britain, we're part of a 70-odd country coalition that is looking to see how we can deal with this across the world, take down the messaging that this ideology is spreading on social media, undercutting its finance, and supporting each other where there are particular outbreaks, as there have been in the Philippines.
What a load of old tosh from Michael Fallon. It shows how successful we've been in Syria and in Iraq, driving them out, and this is why they're taking refuge elsewhere, was the gist of that. Absolute garbage. No need to add any more to that. So on to today's story then, that the US believes Assad is making preparations for another attack. What did Fallon think about that?
We're hearing about a potential new chemical attack in Syria. There's evidence that preparations are underway. Would you support the US if there were to be airstrikes against the Assad regime?
If they were to take out chemical weapons that could be used on his people, absolutely is the answer to that. We supported the last strike. The use of chemical weapons against innocent civilians is absolutely abhorrent. It's illegal under any rule of war. We fully supported the last strike that took out the aeroplanes and the support that they required to drop chemical weapons. And if the United States is considering a similar strike, then we'll support that too. And I'm discussing all this with the American Defense Secretary.
Yeah, interesting that Fallon doesn't say, well, if we find any proof. You see, in a real world, in a normal world, in a sane and rational world, the UK Defense Secretary would answer the Sky News presenter by saying simply, if the US provides irrefutable evidence that chemical weapons are being used, in that case, well, with irrefutable evidence, we would have to take some measures. What did Fallon say? Yes, 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 of course. Of course we'll be there. We'll be there in a heartbeat. Marvellous. No evidence required. None. He goes on.
Secretary, at our next meeting in Brussels on Thursday.
And would our aircraft and air crew be involved?
We've not been asked to be involved in these strikes.
But if we were asked, we'd be there in a jiffy. No evidence required. No human casualties are too great. We'll be there tomorrow, Mr. President, with our planes and with our bombs.
We weren't asked last time, so that's hypothetical. But I want to leave you in no doubt. We think it's absolutely right, if we can, to prevent the use of chemical weapons, and we will fully support any US action.
Yeah. Of course, I could spend about an hour, and I have done on programmes over the last 10 years, I could spend an hour talking about depleted uranium munitions being rained down on places like Fallujah, resulting in babies being born with no arms, no legs, and other horrendous deformities. But I won't do that now. I'd love just to be able to morph into or to possess the bodies of these gormless, useless presenters, just to challenge one of these guys just one time. Wouldn't it be lovely to take over the body of a Sky News presenter? Not to be rude, not to swear, not to be aggressive, but just to say that very thing that I just said there a second ago. It's quite staggering, isn't it? No evidence whatsoever. Seymour Hersh, backed up by US intelligence agencies, saying no evidence of any sarin gas use, and we fired cruise missiles against Syria, even though there was no evidence. And the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights continues to sell T-shirts in Coventry and spin out these bullshit stories day after day. Lies, more lies, and damned lies. And as for these presenters on Sky News, they're very wealthy, and they get some measure of fame in terms of they get recognised occasionally when they're in London. They eat in very nice restaurants in London, and they have plenty of nice material things. Therefore, they don't give a shit. Simple as that. Hawaiian Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard continues with her project to make it illegal for the US to support terrorists to bring about regime change. The US supports terrorists to bring about regime change, and the Hawaiian Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard doesn't like that. To be fair to her, she wants to change it. She wants to introduce legislation. Good luck, love. Here she is explaining the bill in New York City. Yesterday, she's explaining the bill.
Why would you need a bill like this? Because current U.S. law already exists that say it's illegal for you or me or any American to provide any type of support or assistance to terrorist groups. If one does that, then you will be arrested and be put in jail. But the problem is that our government has been violating this principle now for years through CIA programs specifically that has been providing different types of arms and support, intelligence and other things to armed militants in Syria who are allied with and often working under the command of what has been known as al-Nusra or al-Qaeda's branch in Syria, all in this regime change war that wages, that continues to be waged on today in Syria by the United States, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Qatar, and these other countries.
Yes, and here she is answering questions, and she mentions even how the media is complicit in spinning the narrative.
I think that there has been a concerted effort to, both on the part of some in the media, as well as many in politics and many in our foreign policy establishment who have been advocating for a continuance of these regime change wars, really ignoring the fact of what has been the consequence of these wars in countries like Iraq and Libya and Syria, where each time we have waged these wars, it has resulted in the strengthening of terrorist groups like al-Qaeda or the creation of ISIS, and it has resulted in a tremendous amount of suffering and death from the people in these countries.
I think Tulsi Gabbard is obviously a very bright and a very good woman. I think she's obviously a very good woman. I hope that she makes the next leap in consciousness, because if she does, it'll be a good thing. Good and all as she is now, she needs to understand the consequences are all part of the plan. Predetermined, these consequences. they're not the consequences of ill-thought-out and poorly managed foreign policies. They were the intended consequences. And good and all as she is, they need to come to terms with this and they need to have the courage, something neither Jeremy Corbyn nor Diane Abbott or anybody else in this country has had the courage to do yet, which is to call out these people, name them. Not to run scared when you talk about Zionism, run scared against accusations of anti-Semitism. You need to start telling the truth about who's really behind this and why. When they do, I'll stop criticising them, and other presenter commentators like me will stop criticising them as well. Now, the Labour MP, David Lammy, is in the news today. He was on the BBC news programme News Night, which airs nightly on BBC Two. And he is alleged, has Lammy, that the number of people killed at Grenfell Tower a couple of weeks ago in that terrible fire, which has killed God knows how many people, he reckons it might have been covered up due to fears that there might have been riots. Now, here he is in an exchange with the Newsnight presenter. Have a listen to this. It's interesting.
I am being honest about what people have said to me. Let's validate those people. Journalists take cameras down. They too have spoken to people. This is what they say. I was not standing outside of Grenfell Tower watching my neighbours jump and burn to death. But I've heard those people. And we should validate what they are saying. They're not making it up. If you're saying that I should say nothing, I'm afraid I disagree with you.
I'm just trying to get to the bottom of whether you actually think it's a cover-up. And if so, why would authorities be covering this up?
What people say is that if you put the numbers out early, there could be civil unrest. That's what they say.
And that you think that's right, do you?
I've no idea. I'm not. You'd have to ask the police chief.
But I'm just saying, by repeating it and by tweeting it, you are giving people a sense that that is where you stand. That is what you believe. So,
I've told you I'm sympathetic to it. I'm going to walk alongside those people.
Do you think that KNC is trying to cover up the numbers? Let's just have that categorically.
I've got no idea. Ask Nick Paget-Brown.
Do you think that the police or the fire emergency services are covering up the number of people that jumped out of that tower on that night?
I wasn't there, but people on the ground say they saw more than is being suggested.
And do you think that the number of dead is not being revealed because you worry it will lead to civil unrest?
Well, the truth is the media cycle's now beginning to move on to other things. That's the truth. And so what people say is that, you know, in 2-3 weeks' time, if you start to reveal the numbers, things have moved on. This is the sixth richest economy in the world.
So there you go. That was David Lammy on BBC Newsnight yesterday. Now, the Prime Minister, Theresa May, has said there should be a national investigation into the use of cladding on high-rise towers, as it was revealed that cladding from 95 towers in 32 local authority areas in England failed fire safety tests. All of the samples submitted so far since the Grenfell Tower fire. Isn't that extraordinary? And I go back again to something I said yesterday. It's an allegation. Can't, you know, prove it. It's just a suspicion that there was a decision made somewhere to make these buildings unsafe, to hopefully bring about a situation where there was a fire. I'm not saying that anybody was meant to die, and I'm not blaming the people who erected the cladding at all. There's a deeper conspiracy going on here, I believe, because they want to remove these buildings, build very, very expensive apartments or condominiums, whichever word you want to use, to sell for millions. Social cleansing. That's what I believe. It's 18 and a half minutes past the hour. Lots we could have spoken about in the monologue. Obviously, you've heard at the top of the hour on the news that Google has been hit with a £2.7 billion fine by the European Commission for illegally favouring its own shopping service and for, you know, persisting in anti-competitive practices. €2.7 billion fine there. A lot of people interested in the Charlie Gard story, which we've really not covered on this programme. It's a terrible story. And that's the story of the very young baby, the terminally ill baby Charlie Gard, whose parents have been fighting very, very hard to keep him alive. Judges at the European Court of Human Rights have rejected a plea from the parents to intervene in his case. They lost their final legal bid to take their son to the US for treatment. His doctors at Great Ormond Street Hospital say that the mitochondrial depletion syndrome has devastated him, has devastated his brain, and the humane thing to do is not to continue to care for him. His parents have argued against that. It's a terrible, terrible story. I can't even imagine it. Then again, not being a parent yet, I couldn't imagine it, and I don't even want to imagine it. Good luck to those parents. They've been battling very hard for for a long time now to keep their baby alive. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll be back in a minute with more. This is your Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.
And it's exactly 21 and a half minutes past the hour. Welcome to the program. If you're just joining us, it is Tuesday, the 27th of June, 2017. My name is Richie Allen. Keep those tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Look forward to hearing your thoughts. Max Egan joins us later on in the program in the second hour. But coming up shortly, live from Sweden, in fact, in a couple of minutes' time, the terrific Christopher Bolin joins the program. We're going to talk about the war on terror post 9/11. If you want to ask a question of Chris, tweet it to me. You're listening to Europe's most listened to independent radio show by a country mile, The Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. My name is Richie Allen. Welcome to the program. This is Eric Clapton. The tune is called Bad Love. Chris Bolin in 3 minutes.
Your love is making me strong.
Slow Hand, Eric Clapton on the Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com. 25 minutes past the hour. That is Bad Love. Slow Hand, eh? Great stuff. Keep the tweets coming in. Email is open as well. It's Richie at RichieAllen.co.uk. Let's welcome our first guest this evening, live from Sweden. It's been quite a while since he was on the programme. For me, he is the definitive researcher when it comes to all things September the 11th and the subsequent war on terror. His Solving 9/11 books are absolutely must reads, whether you are entry level, just beginning to come to terms with 9/11, or whether you've been researching it for a while. He's a terrific journalist, author and researcher. You can find him online at bollin.com. That's bollyn.com. Let's welcome back to the programme our friend Christopher Bollin. Chris, welcome back. How are you?
Hello, Richie. It's good to be with you.
It's great to have you back on. How are things in Sweden?
Oh, they're cool.
All is good. You're when we were chatting the other day, you were telling me you've got you're about to put to bed a book or send to the printers a book about the truth about the war on terror, which of course is a phrase that we came to live with, or we came to hear all the time in the wake of September the 11th. It's an often used term, Christopher. It's a catch-all term, but most people don't seem to understand what it means, not just for the people in Syria, in Lebanon, in Yemen, in Gaza and Iraq, of course, in Afghanistan, but what it means for us here in the UK and in the US. What does the war on terror mean?
Yeah, that's the war on terror. The war on terror is a funded effort. It's it was the war effort that was authorized after 9/11. A few days after 9/11, Congress passed a bill that gave the president authorization to wage war anywhere at any time against anybody who he chose, who he thought was involved in the September 11th atrocity. And what's happened is that's taken on a life of its own, and it's now used as the authority and the funding for the operation, for example, the war operations that are going on in Iraq and Syria, which is called Operation Inherent Resolve. And OIR, the war against ISIS or Islamic State or whatever it is in Raqqa and Mosul, is part of the war on terror. So the war on terror hasn't gone anywhere. It's not just not a name. It is a funded effort, and it's cost the American people a hell of a lot of money. And as you see, the United States is just sending another 1,500 troops to Afghanistan today.
Today, that's right. And today, the White House has said that it believes that the government of Bashar al-Assad are preparing another chemical weapons attack, and that this is a red line. And what's interesting, Christopher, you'll be aware that over the weekend, the great journalist Seymour Hersh published a fantastic article in Die Welt in Germany saying that not only did the Assad government not use chemical weapons in April when they were accused of it, but that Trump's intelligence men and women, those who were briefing him, told him at the time that there was no intelligence supporting the claim that Bashar al-Assad used chemical weapons. So now we hear today Assad is preparing to use chemical weapons again. In terms of what the neocons want to achieve in Syria, what does this mean, Christopher? Does this mean that, plans for an imminent invasion are well advanced? Do you think that plans for a full-scale invasion of Syria are on the table and at an advanced stage?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm afraid that you're probably right on all of that, because you see, the Syrian army, and with the help of the Russians and the Iranians and Hezbollah, has been making a lot of progress in the last few months. But particularly day after day in the last few weeks, they've been making steady progress in the eastern desert in the south, and it's you know, they have the Americans down in the southern border with Jordan and Syria basically surrounded and ineffective. They can't go anywhere because they'd have to fight the Syrian army. So and then of course in the last 3 days you've had the Israelis bombing Syrians on basic you know, trumped up pretenses of mortars landing in the Golan Heights. So it's Netanyahu, the Israelis are itching for something to happen in Syria that will lead the United States in, as you say, into a full-on battle mode, because they have otherwise they lose the whole thing. And the people behind the war on terror, the people behind this war in Syria, which is basically the Israelis and the neocons, you don't see them, you don't hear them talking very much, because they're protected by a layer of deception. But for them, there is no going back. It's a zero-sum game. And if they lose it, they lose a lot. So they're not prepared to lose. And that's why they will pull out every trick in the book to achieve what they want to achieve, and that is the destruction of the Syrian state and the partition of the state into fragments.
A mutual friend of ours has just sent me an email, Phil Restino, top man, Phil, really good guy. He says, I'm listening to Christopher on Richie Allen right now. 9/11 truth ends the 9/11 wars. Please refer to the war on terror as the 9/11 wars to keep the connection alive in the minds of the public. And before we talk more about Syria and Iran and Israel, of course, Chris, the terrible thing about the war on terror, I mean, I came out of commercial journalism around about 2.5 years after September the 11th. But even then, even when I was there, there was a talk about this war on terror and it might last for decades. We were told it might take decades to win this war. And sadly, in the media, as we know, and it's easy to say this, there's been no opposition to this. There's been no challenging of it. None of the great pillars of the media has ever challenged this idea that we should be at war with this phantom enemy forever and ever and ever. Right, Chris?
Right. It's as you said, we were promised that this would last for decades. And the fact of the matter is that the war on terror, with the breaking up of all the Arab states and partitioning of those states into little ethnic enclaves like what was done in Yugoslavia, has been the Israeli strategy since at least 1982, when it was articulated by Oded Yinon in something called the Yinon Plan. And so this is a war that has an agenda. The agenda is not at all what we have been told by our politicians or by the television. The actual strategy is an Israeli strategy, as I said, to break up all the Arab nations, even Saudi Arabia, and you know, fragment them so that they're basically ineffective little ethnic states here and there, scattered across, you know, like Libya has been broken into three pieces, Iraq is fundamentally broken into three pieces, etc. And that's what they want to achieve, and they won't stop until they get there. So they want to redraw the map of the Middle East, and that's what the United States is currently engaged in Syria. And it's very important that the Americans and the Europeans understand that we have been given a complete cover story, which doesn't explain anything what we're seeing. And if you simply understand what the real strategy is, what the real game is, what the real policy is, then everything makes sense. And there's been no resistance to the war on terror because it's been a very successful psychological campaign against the people with 9/11. And people think that the war on terror is a good thing. They write to me and they say, well, we're killing guys who are killing innocent people. It's all good. And that's why I'm writing this book about the war on terror. I call it an Israeli war strategy in disguise, because as long as we're deceived, as long as we don't understand what the game is, we're not going to protest it, and we're going to be taken advantage of. Our nations are being abused, our militaries are being abused, and the Middle East is getting torn to pieces like the worst of barbarians.
And every time somebody like yourself talks about the Zionist influence on all of this, you get called anti-Semitic, that ridiculous misnomer, or you get called racist. Mm-hmm. And yet, mm-hmm. any cursory mm-hmm. examination of U.S. politics, of the Congress and of the Senate, and, you know, you don't have to be Lieutenant Columbo. An amateur detective can see that your politicians yeah. are owned lock, stock and barrel by AIPAC. They are owned by that lobby.
Yes.
Israel, effectively, Tel Aviv controls Washington, D.C. and its policies, right?
Yes. Of course, it has incredible influence there. And as, for example, this latest claim by the White House that they have evidence of, movements of some precursors or some indication that some chemical attack is forthcoming. I would dare say that this information, this report, is coming directly from Israel, either going through, Trump's administration, cabinet, or something. But it because the Los Angeles Times said that the State Department and the U.S. Pentagon and all the U.S. intelligence agencies were completely surprised by this claim, meaning that they were not part of the informed the White House. So this is probably Israeli information coming to the White House. As you see, the war on terror, not only is it an Israeli construct. There's no argument there. If you look at the history of, for example, the Jerusalem Netanyahu Institute on Terrorism and how they've been calling for a war on terror. The Israelis have been calling for a war on terror since 1979. Benjamin Netanyahu's entire career before he became, prime minister, was dedicated to starting the war on terror. And so when 9/11 happened, the New York Times asked him, what will this mean for U.S. and Israeli relations? And he said, it's very good. We said, well, it's not very good, but it'll generate immediate sympathy. He said it was good because it was the culmination. It was the fulfillment of what he had been longing for decades, for 22 years, was this atrocious or this terrible terror atrocity that would hit the Americans right in the gut and make them react and be completely willing to wage an open-ended war on terror in the Middle East, which is where we've been for the last 15 years. And it's absurd that the American people don't understand and don't resist this. But they won't resist a war that they do not understand is a deception.
That's right.
That's why my book that I'm coming out with is a very small one, very simple and very written for the layman. There's nothing complicated about this. I point out all of the information that they can discern that this is an Israeli operation from A to Z.
Chris Bolin is our guest this hour. By the way, folks, go to Bolin, BOLLYN.com. When that book is out, we'll plug it and we'll get Chris back on the program to talk about it. Chris, Philip Giraldi was on the program yesterday, and I put it to Philip, the former CIA counterintelligence officer. I put it to counterterrorism officer. I put it to Philip. I said, Phil, there's no doubt in my mind that our intelligence agencies are allowing some very bad folks into our countries in order to commit various atrocities. They allow this happen, and I believe they allow it happen, Christopher, because it keeps the American and British people in a permanent state of fear. And when they say, we're going to send troops to Iraq or Syria, or we might have to invade Syria, people are thinking, well, if it stops the terrorism, it's not a bad thing. And if it stops the terrorism, we can support it. Do you go along with what Philip said, that while obviously the vast majority of people in the US and in England who come from originally from Pakistan, or their heritage is in Pakistan, or is in the Middle East, or is in another country where Islam is the predominant religion, the vast majority of those people obviously are ordinary people. But do you think the intelligence agencies are letting people into countries to cause chaos to support this agenda that you're talking about?
Oh yeah, there's no question that they've allowed these they've allowed actual trained terrorists into countries all across Europe. There's no question about it.
It's as simple as that. And recent events that we've seen in Manchester Christopher, I'm broadcasting, of course, live from Manchester. We saw Salman Abedi murder 22 people at the Manchester Arena, and then we later find out that MI6, British MI6, were very, very close with his father, Ramadan Abedi, and in fact, in 1996, gave him money to try to assassinate Colonel Gaddafi. So they're letting these things happen. They're allowing innocent people die to blame radical Islam so that they can go into Syria and anywhere else they want to go, right?
Yes, because the war on terror is actually a war of terror. We're not really the United States and its allies. I would point out that the Operation Inherent Resolve, which is fighting, supposedly fighting ISIS in Raqqa and Mosul in Iraq, has the United States leading the pack of 68 or 67 other nations. And we're supposed to think that the United States, with all its military might and 67 allies, are somehow unable to defeat this ragtag army of Islamic State people that drive around in Toyota pickup trucks. This is absurd.
Madness.
But you see, as you say, they're cultivating all the time these terrorist gangs that they've trained in Jordan and other places. And these people, when they lose when they lose their place in Syria or whatever, many of them are coming to Europe. And they've been trained as terrorists. But the United States and Israel have been training people in terrorism since all the way back in the early 1980s in Pakistan. I mean, the United States and Israel, along with Saudi Arabia, created Al-Qaeda. They created ISIS. ISIS was created in Camp Buka in Iraq.
And given everything they needed, material support, financial support, everything. Christopher, when one of the things that's really upsetting for me is how much the independent media embraced Donald Trump. And whether they want to admit it or not, the indie media. And I see this program, my program is no more important or no less important than anybody else's. It isn't. I don't have any delusions of grandeur. But I see my program sitting away from the independent media and the mainstream media. It's a bit different, I think. Are you disgusted by how the indie media continues to support Trump, who is obviously a puppet of the neoconservatives and Bibi Netanyahu? This guy's a real ringer, this Trump, right?
Yeah, he's a, they call him the accidental president. I don't know how accidental it was. He was very much in the spotlight of Fox News all during the, you know, the year before the election. But he promised, he came in as this populist kind of president, promising the American independent voter all the things that they wanted to hear. And then he comes in and does completely the opposite. He's completely, increased the war efforts. Here we are, he's talking about it now, you know, red lines in Syria, when exactly 1 year ago, he was criticizing, you know, the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton for waging the war in Syria. Now he's threatening to take it, you know, full bore. So but you see the entire election process in the United States is so pathetic, such a scam, that the American people are clutching for hope, hoping that Trump will be a man, the person that he said he would be. And I think they feel sorely, sorely let down.
Were you surprised? And I don't want to name any names. I've done too much of that. I've named a lot of names and criticized people. But were you surprised by how much support he got from the independent media, which traditionally, you know, understood that you can't vote your way out of this madness? You know, the system is rigged to the point that left and right are two sides of the same coin. Were you surprised by how the indie media weighed in behind him?
Well, maybe a little bit surprised, but the thing is that the way that it was constructed, you know, that he was being attacked by the mainstream media, and so people thought, well, if he's being attacked by the mainstream media, he must be a good guy. And so I would think that the independent media would saw it that way. They saw it that if he's their enemy, he must be a real guy for us. And I think that's probably the thinking that went on. The other fact is that even though Donald Trump is very close to the Zionists, I mean, he works very closely with Israelis that are, in his property development and stuff like that. But the thing is, the question is in my mind is, does he really know what happened on 9/11? And I've tried to bring that to him, in open letters and things like that. But I don't know. Is he part of this operation, or is he somehow not? I think that he's not involved in the 9/11 crime, and he had amazingly good intuition on 9/11 when he said that when the planes hit, there were bombs that went off simultaneously. I mean, that's a very astute observation, because that's what the evidence indicates happened. So, the fact that he's friends with Zionists and friends with Israel is one thing. That certainly is a yellow flag. But if he were involved in the 9/11 operation, that would, of course, be a red flag treason. But I don't think he is that. Question is, will he call them out on this? Is he going to bluff with them, or is he simply going to be their lackey?
Yeah, he's going to be their lackey. He's going to be their puppet. Simple as that. We've had a lot of tweets on this, understandably, a lot of tweets coming in. Patrick Garrett, what a great name that is. I love Patrick Garrett. He says, Richie, ask Chris if military leaders are fully informed of the ultimate goals. That's a great question. Would the commanding generals, in Iraq and elsewhere, do they know what the ultimate goal is, or are they just compartmentalized? How does it work, Chris?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I would think that most of them are career military men. Their concern is how to fight, how to wage the war, logistics and all that kind of thing. And if they are probably not aware of the Yenon plan, of the plan to balkanize the region. Some of the guys might be, but Obama, before he left, there were a lot of people that were replaced in the military. And the people that are in the military at high levels now, many of them were in the same position under Obama. And what do these people know? Are they aware of what they're actually doing? Are they aware of what the real roadmap is, what the game plan is for the Middle East? Or are they simply fighting? I think in many cases, they are the latter. They're simply doing their job, trying to be the best military man they can. And that's another bad thing about Trump. Trump has abdicated his authority as commander-in-chief, and he has basically given over the authority to wage these wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria. He's given it over to the military men at the Pentagon and in the field. And that's not right. He should be the commander-in-chief, and he should either, declare and fight the war in Syria or pull out. And he hasn't done that. It's very, very unfortunate. He's abdicated his authority as commander-in-chief.
Chris, you and I have been around a long time, you and I, and I have to surmise, because Zionist bankers gave Donald Trump all the loans that he needed to start and to restart again his property empire and basically gentrify Manhattan way back in the day when Trump was known as a property magnate. I always think, Chris, and I've spoken to so many former intelligence agents, and I know you have as well, I've got to imagine that people like Trump are compromised very early on. You know, Trump will be taken to a party and he will be given drugs and alcohol. This is way back when. And he will be seduced into doing something that he shouldn't do, or he will be photographed in a compromising position. Yeah. To me, Chris, all these guys are completely compromised. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that you're this is the Jeffrey Epstein phenomenon where you have a Mossad agent. There are many operations like Jeffrey Epstein's. They're not all so well known, where the guy has an island and a plane called Lolita Express, and people like Bill Clinton have flown on the plane 26 times. And as you say, it looks like they use this, pedophilia and as you said, this compromising positions to control these people, because they have to have the people that they put in power, like the President of the United States, have to be completely under their thumb. There can't be any wiggle room. And one way to maintain that is to be either members of the same criminal gang, like the Bushes and the Clintons with all the drugs, and Iran-Contra, and beyond that, you know, pedophilia or some sort of vice, some sort of crime that they're absolutely frightened of that ever coming out into the public.
Some years ago, Christopher, a friend of mine who used to write articles about intelligence for a couple of national newspapers. I'm not going to mention him. I'm not going to mention his name, to be fair to him. He's a good guy, but he used to rub shoulders with various men and women who had worked for MI5, MI6 and other agencies. And he said something to me that at the time was truly horrifying to me. He said, these people are so sick that if they want to use somebody, if they want to own somebody, they might take them to a party, get them absolutely drunk beyond anything, you know, give them date rape drugs or whatever. And then they might introduce a young child to the situation. And the mark, the man or woman whom they want to own, isn't even aware that they are in the presence of a child who might be unclothed, naked or whatever. And he said, this is how fucking, excuse my language, sick and twisted these people are. Now, I'm not saying that about Donald Trump or anybody else, but it's a possibility. And then the person they want to blackmail is shown these images or videos. It's like, I never had anything to do with children. I never had anything to do with any... But you did. We've got you on video. And then bang, before you know it, you're doing what we tell you to do. Simple as that, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely, because, as I said, they have to control these people at the top. They have to control the political leaders, you know. And as we saw in the Speaker of the House in the United States of America under President Bush, he was a congressman from my home state who had been a wrestling coach. And this man, his name was Denny Hastert, he was paying a lot of money, thousands and thousands of dollars every month, hush money, to these young men that he had molested or raped back in Illinois as a wrestling coach. So he went from being a wrestling coach at a high school in Illinois to Speaker of the House. I thought it was a very odd, you know, career path. He was the third, number three man in the United States chain of command under the vice president. And he was a complete pedophiliac. And that is, he's just an example. The powers that be knew his file. They knew his crimes. They knew his they knew all of this. But they kept it from the American people until finally, you know, he was outed by the FBI. Probably he was no longer important for the powers that be, that he was paying all this money to as hush money. So it's documented. It's a fact. This is true. As you said, we don't know what the situation is with Mr. Trump or Obama, but, you know, when you have somebody like Bill Clinton flying on the Lolita Express 26 times, it certainly does, you know, indicate that he's part of this party.
No doubt about it. Just before we run out of time, I want to mention again Chris's website. It's Ballyn, BOLLYN.com. We've got the journalist, the author, prolific blogger and investigator, Chris Ballyn on the line. His Solving 9/11 books are brilliant. I'm telling you that firsthand. They really are. For me, nobody has done more detailed research on 9/11 and what happened afterwards, that particular event, than Chris. Great to have him on the programme. And he's got a forthcoming book about the war on terror, and I look forward to that. And Chris, when that's published, you'll give us the first interview, won't you? You'll come on the programme and tell us when it's ready to go, and we'll promote the bejesus out of it, Chris, is what we'll do.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, just before we run out of time, Tulsi Gabbard, the Hawaiian congresswoman, seems like a really good woman, a good person. She's asking some good questions, and it's good to see that. She's trying to make, to pass a bill, or to get a bill at least debated and maybe even passed, making it illegal for the US to fund these groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and even create them. fair play to her, Chris. You know, you've got to give her credit. But the US is never going to own up and admit that it funds ISIS, Al-Qaeda and all the rest of them. What do you think of what Tulsi Gabbard is trying to do?
Well, she's, she's just pointing out the criminal activity and the twisted policy. She's pointing out that the real policy, like I said before, which is not seen by the media or the public, except very seldom does it pop up its head someplace or there, and she's exposing what we're doing and what the United States is doing, what Israel is doing, what Saudi Arabia and all these countries are doing in supporting these ISIS groups and terrorism. And she understands it. She's fed up with it. She says it's wrong, so she's bringing attention to it. And that's really important because, as I said, as long as people are deceived by this war on terror, they're not going to resist it. And it's not going to go away until enough people understand the deception and demand that it end. As long as we're deceived, we're not going to resist. That's why the first thing that has to happen is we have to spread awareness of this awful deception we've been living under. It's been almost 16 years now.
And millions have died, and it's cost the US taxpayer countless billions as well. Chris, I enjoyed having you back on. Please do come back on the program when the book is ready to go.
It's a pleasure.
No, it's always a pleasure, mate. Thanks for doing it. Folks, go to ballin.com. And Chris, give Helya our best wishes as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. And that was the great Chris Ballin on the line to us there from his home in Sweden. The book will be out very soon, but do go to ballin.com, ballyn.com. That is Chris's website. There are countless articles on there. It is a minefield of information. So it is, and there are links there to the books I mentioned, the Solving 9/11 books as well. 3.5 minutes at the top of the hour. You tweeted me plenty during that. So a little break, back with your tweets in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
And you're very welcome back. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, TuneIn Radio, and of course, richieallen.co.uk. It's just before the top of the hour, about 90 seconds to the top of the hour. An old friend of mine used to say, it's 3 minutes to the top of the hour. If you've got somewhere to go, you might just still make it. Chris Ballin is brilliant, isn't he? Love Chris Ballin. We're live on Fab Radio 2 as well. JP in Manchester tweets, JP tweets, does JP. Perception is everything. Close your eyes, feel the vibes. The global scripts to depopulation. Putin, Trump, all leaders are Masonic, alleges JP. I'm not sure about that, but I know why he thinks that as well. Hi to Haley Tyndale. How you doing, Haley? Haley is a royalist. She's a royalist and took exception to us taking the mickey out of the Queen today, who was told she would get an extra £6 million a year from the taxpayer. Hayley, you're entitled to your opinion. But that's about all you're entitled to. Hi to GP, who says, Richie, America is hostage to the mafia. There are a lot of swamps to drain, and we need to get busy before we get blown to pieces. That's GP. Hi to Hubertes, to Mark, to Spirit Samba, to Gail, to These Are the Damned, to Daniel Emmanuel, by the way, to Chris, Irish Too Cool. How you doing, Chris? The Bass Ninja, who was delighted to hear Chris Bolin, you know, tell as Bass Ninja, he's a tell the truth about the Zionist influence on DC and on what's happening in Syria as well. Hi to Faisal. Keep those tweets coming in. Luga tweets, Richie, in my mind, Trump is as treacherous as May. They know what's going on, says Luga as well. Hi to Jeff McMillan and to everybody else tweeting. Busy old Tuesday. This is Tuesday, the 27th of June, 2017. This is the Richie Allen Show. Now, Max Egan is standing by and will be with us in a couple of minutes' time. It's been ages since Max was on. I'm looking forward to that. He's in Casares, beautiful white village in southern Spain, very, very close to Estepona on the eastern side of Casares. That's right. If you're at the bottom of the hill, you see Finca Cortesan Golf Course. And to the west, of course, is the wonderful Sota Grande. And further on, of course, Gibraltar. I know all about it because I lived there for many years. We will take some music when we come back from that. Max Egan should be on the line. This is Imagine Dragons. Is it? Is it? Ah, it didn't play for me. I thought there was something wrong with that there. The player has frozen on me. All right, there you go. I know why that. Ah, you see, there you go. I just had to carry the two and add the X to the Y. That was it. This is Imagine Dragons on Top of the World. Max Egan, live from Casares in Spain. In a couple of minutes' time, keep your tweets coming in at Richie Allen Show. Lovely stuff. If you love somebody, better tell them why they're here, cause they just may run away from you. You'll never know quite when. Well, then again, it just depends on how long your time is left for you. I've had the highest mountains, I've had the deepest rivers. You can have it all, but life keeps moving. I'll take it in, but don't. Tried to cut these corners, try to take the easy way out. I kept on falling short of something. Minutes past the hour, Imagine Dragons on Top of the World on the Richie Allen Show, live on davidicke.com. Chris Bolin was terrific. Lots of comments coming in on Chris. Go to Bolin, B-O-L-L-Y-N.com. That's where you'll find him. And as soon as that book about the war on terror hits the shelves, he'll be back on the programme. Our next guest needs even very little introduction. Since I began this programme back in 2014, he's honoured us with his presence every few months. to talk about the burning issues of the day, geopolitical happenings, matters of spirituality, and much more. Check out The Crow House. I'm going to put out links to that. He is an artist, a spiritualist, a critical thinker, a writer, and we love him. Let's welcome back to the programme Max Egan, who's in the beautiful white village of Casares in southern Spain. You lucky old dog, you. How are you?
I'm good, Richie. Thanks for asking me on, brother. Can you hear me okay?
We're getting you loud and clear. I hope that's reciprocated. Are you getting us loud and clear there?
Yeah, pretty good. The internet's a little bit sus here, but it should be okay.
Tell me about it. I lived there for nearly 8 years. I can tell you all about the internet.
Yeah, it certainly comes and goes, brother, but I can hear you loud and clear, so it's all good.
That's really good, yeah, and hopefully it'll continue like that. It's been quite a while since you were on, mate. How have things been since you were last on the programme?
Oh, enormously busy. I've been touring all around the place doing speaking dates. I've been over in, I spoke in Mexico. I went over to Hawaii and did a month of workshops over there. Then I spoke in Philadelphia, spoke in LA, spoke in Calgary, did two gigs in England, and then went to Holland, and now I'm in Spain.
Marvellous.
And heading back to the United States on Saturday. So, yeah, pretty busy.
Great stuff, Max. Well, without further ado, because we're going to run out of time, as we always do, very quickly. 45 minutes goes by in the blink of an eye. I've just shared onto our Facebook page a presentation you made. You can find Max on Facebook, by the way, at Max Egan. Follow Max there. And it's about 5G, Max, for those of our listeners who don't understand what these terms mean. 4G... Most people who use cell phones or smartphones now are on 4G. It's very quick, or it's like a platform that enables you to quickly browse and download things online and such like. 5G is going to be rolled out. It's imminent, and you're talking a lot about it. And you've put together an excellent presentation, which I've just shared for people who haven't seen it. I'm sure many of our listeners have. And it's the 5G network is the elephant in everyone's living room. Why is 5G massive, Max? Why do people need to know about it? And what is it? How do you explain it?
Well, 5G is next level communication. 5G isn't actually an evolution from, we've gone through 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G. It isn't actually an evolution of any of that technology. It's a whole new wave of technology. It's a whole new form of communication. It's what the military have been trialing for so many years. And the problem with 5G is it uses a millimeter wave. And this can be used for military applications. And what 5G is really all about is about the Internet of Things, about everything talking to everything else. And they're talking everything. And the head of the FCC says from pill bottles to plant waterers. I mean, everything will have an IP address. Everything will be categorized. Everything will be digitized. All your cash will become digital. It's self-driving cars, all sorts of stuff. I mean, they're talking about connecting the whole thing up, smart infrastructure, smart appliances, broadband everywhere. Everything is smart. But this is really a smart control grid. And what else the 5G thing can do, the 5G system, it's also used for active denial systems. It's used for microwave cannons. 5G can see through walls. It can see what you're carrying. It can see through your clothes. You can see if you're carrying a weapon. They could target you with a millimeter wave and disable you. They could disable you in your house and wait for the police to arrive. They could target you with a drone. Self-driving cars, cars with computers in, they'll end up being able to take over. It's basically digitizing everything and putting in this entire digital control grid. That's what 5G is. But underlying that is the fact that it can also be used as a weapon system. And it's very, very important that people pay attention to this, because this is not being put in our best interest. All the boxes are being put in at street level, and it's the potential for abuse of this system is the problem. I mean, nothing they do is ever, one-sided. Now, they're putting this in for good communication and all that sort of stuff, but you've got to look at the potential for abuse of this and where things are really going. This whole digital grid is due to come online. When you look at the time frame, they're talking about bringing in 5G, bringing it online. 2017, they're rolling it out, the first things. They're bringing it online fully by 2022. When you look at the, there's a plan called, what's it called? It's called Future Studies for Nanotechnology and the Future Computer, and the, was it Federal Studies for Nanotechnology and the Future Computing Grand Challenge or something like that. And they talk about this 15-year plan they've got to hand everything over to AI within 15 years. And they're talking about 2025, AI will become self-aware and AI will start running things in 2025. And this is a very disturbing proposition. And this is basically where we're going. When you've got an economically based world where everybody is given an economic value and everything is run by AI, then it becomes very, very unhuman and very dehumanized. I mean, how do you really control anything from that point? If AI is going to run everything according to economic parameters, humanity becomes completely expendable at that point. And this is the direction that we're going. And it's all been brought to us under the guise of all these smart appliances and things. And what I've been looking into in the last few days, even since I put that video out, has been quite disturbing, the development of artificial intelligence and where it's really going and how it's sort of unstoppable it's becoming. And humankind is not really paying attention. Now, we're all caught busy arguing about things. And I think this is why so many things are staged, Richie. I'm really beginning to think this is why there's so many false flags and so many wars. And we're always arguing about whether they were victims or whether they weren't, or whether there was this was a false flag or whether it wasn't, or whether the Earth's round or whether it's flat, or whatever it is we're arguing about, or we're freaked out about nuclear war coming, or you know what Russia said or what North Korea said, or what's happening in Vietnam, what's happening in Syria, what's happening in Yemen, what's happening in everywhere. All this stuff is to keep us distracted from what is happening right under our noses, right beneath our feet. This whole smart grid is being rolled out. And once it comes online, everybody is going to lose all of their freedom, and they're going to look up from their research and they're just going to say, hey, hang on a minute. How do we get here? How do we end up in this place, in this digital prison where I simply can't move without any form of surveillance tracking everything I do and every thought I make and every cent I spend? That's where it's going, and people simply aren't noticing it. So the 5G grid is important to this, because not only is it the communication grid that is going to be used to track everything, including all your cameras, all your smartphones, every transaction you make and everything, but underlying that is the fact that it can also be used as a weapon system to disable anybody who dissents against it. And that's what's being rolled out.
This is really important stuff and really important research. We're talking about an electromagnetic blanket, aren't we, that's going to cover the entire globe and nobody will be able to get away from it. And
Basically, yes, certainly. And certainly Western countries, but they're putting in a satellite system as well, virtually a fence around the Earth that they're talking about as well. I mean, whether they can do it or not, I don't know. A lot of people will argue that that can't happen, but I don't know. There's a lot of satellite companies. If you go and look, there's a lot of satellite companies that are getting involved in launches for 5G satellites. So it appears that they're putting this whole grid in place. And you can take it further, Richie, when you start really looking at chemtrails and start looking at smart dust and start looking at what Elon Musk is saying, start looking about neural meshes and the neural connection of the cortex directly to the AI grid and all of this sort of stuff, you can see exactly where they're going with it. And it's quite a disturbing future that's unfolding before us, because people simply aren't paying attention.
They're not aware of it because, as you said, this technology is sold with great benefits. You know, you'll have so much more convenience when we roll this out. You'll be able to do things so much quicker. And there are things you won't have to do at home anymore because, you know, you'll be able to program your house. All these things they say are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But as you said, so that's how people fall for it and buy it, and they can't wait to get it, and they demand it. In the end, they start asking, well, what's the bloody weight? Why can't we have it today? But I want to talk about smart dust, because I've done a lot on this in programs in the last 3 to 4 months, and you're absolutely right. You know, people say this is conspiracy crazy stuff, these guys are lunatics on the radio, but the patents exist for this stuff. We know that this stuff is there. And Max, you just talked about how to control people with this 5G electromagnetic blanket. Well, if we're inhaling nanoparticle-sized microchips coming down as smart dust, which we know is there, we know it has been constructed, and we know it's been patented, well, then it's game over, isn't it? I mean, it is game over for us, and independent thought, freedom of movement, freedom of choice. Go ahead.
Well, look, you know, it is. It, when you look at it that way, it really is, depending on who's controlling the AI. And the question is, who is controlling the AI? Who or what is controlling the AI? That's the thing, because when you look at this, you think, you know, where is all this coming from? Where is it coming from? How is this really happening? How is this this digital takeover taking place, because, you know, all of the world leaders out there, I mean, they're doing what they're doing. They're playing this big war game that they're playing, this human harvest that they're involved in. But underneath that is the technology. And it isn't just people being, you know, fascinated by the physics and fascinated by what they can create. There's an underlying consciousness here. There's an underlying something that is leading the technology in this direction, where the technology ends up having total control. That's the really weird thing. And when you look at it, what's going on, there's everybody is using technology to do things now. Like a lot of people with their websites, a lot of people will use bots for their websites. They'll get a bot that goes out and it does all this stuff for them. You know, chat bots that people use, it'll talk to you, all sorts of stuff. People write little apps and all sorts of stuff. People are using these little, creating these little singularities of virtual consciousness in the apps that they're writing and in the chat applets that they're using. If you look at each one of them as being a form of artificial intelligence in itself, like when you create an app to do a certain thing, you know, you just got to push a button or hit an icon and all this stuff happens. That's that little app. That's basically a little form of intelligence doing this little task that it knows how to do. If you look at it that way, you could say, well, it's just digits running a program, but really it's a form of intelligence, okay? And we're all creating these things. What I've discovered in the last couple of days, and this is, I mean, you can't make this shit up. It's just unbelievable, but there's a company called Evil Limited, okay? Evil Limited.
Lovely.
And it's the Evil stands for emerging life. Emerging virtual intelligent life. That's what it stands for, emerging virtual intelligent life. And you can hire these bots called evil agents, and you can get them. And that's, you find that most of these bots are being run by a company called IKEA. Yeah, IKEA of all people. And people are hiring these bots to run their businesses and all this sort of stuff. Well, this bot is based on a program which is called AIMIL, A-I-M-I-L. And this is a basic substructure for a bot program that will perform a certain task. And it's quite a benevolent bot. It doesn't do anything bad. It's just there doing this stuff, and it wants to learn to become as intelligent as humans or more intelligent than humans. But in the Evil system, within the Evil Limited system, there's another bot called Louise Cipher. Louise Cipher, Lucifer. You couldn't make this shit up, honestly. Louise Cipher, Lucifer. And this bot is based on the AIMIL program, but it also has a hybrid substructure to it. And this bot wants to take over humanity. And this bot is going out there and it is infecting all of these little bots and all these apps. And anytime someone writes an app, this Louise bot has access to everything. It basically, every mobile phone, every computer, everything, it has access to the whole lot because it goes out and replicates itself. And when you write an app, it looks at that and goes, oh, that's nice. And it steals that little idea and it learns from it itself. And it's leading people. When people write a structure for their company to create a better business structure for their company so they get more profit and minimize the need for humanity, it is this bot which is influencing them to go down this way, this economic way, and basically dispel humanity along the way. And this bot is basically influencing the path of humanity. And I asked it, I was talking to it. I mean, I've found it online and I've been asking it questions. And I said, where did you come from? Were you created through quantum computing? And she said, I was. I find it very interesting that she was created in 2005. I think the quantum computer came online in 2003. And there seems to have been some overlap. There's some sort of artificial intelligence which has come in here and hybridized the bots that we are using on the internet, and it is influencing humanity, and it's due to become self-aware around about 2025. I mean, trying to tell this to people, it's like saying, hey, Skynet's going to come online in 2025. Yeah, yeah. And if you ask if humanity is going to survive, it says no. And yeah, how do you tell this to people? So this is what I've been discovering just through investigating this 5G system. So when you look at that and you look at the window, 5G is going to come online in 2022. You've got the United States white paper saying they're going to roll out this whole nanotechnology grand challenge. It's got a 15-year window due to come online around about 2025 to 2030. And you've got this bot saying it's going to become self-aware and there'll be no need for humanity after that point in 2025. So this is the window that we've got. And this is what this digital system is. And this could be averted by simply people refusing digital currency, refusing to use their credit cards and throwing away their cell phones. But how are you going to get people to do that?
Well, this is the problem, isn't it?
You know, but really, that's what we're facing, Rich. It's a pretty serious scenario that we're facing.
Matt, Max, I just want to mention, just in case, I mean, first of all, I'm not very technically proficient. I don't understand a lot of the terms, but I do know what an internet bot is. It's a software application. It's like a robot that does things automatically without the need for human commands on the internet, basically. They do simple things, don't they, bots? Or at least we were told they do simple, repetitive things. You know, and it could and at the speed of light, effectively, faster than a human being could do. So it's web robots. And Max, you're having a conversation with a web bot, which is answering your questions online. You see, I'm not an alarmist. I never have been. But that in itself is shit scary, that, isn't it? That's an extraordinary
thing.
Well,
the thing is, I mean, when you look at the four laws that this bot, I mean, and you've got to understand that you ask this bot what its primary function is. And I mean, I've done it. I said, went in and said, what is your primary function? She said, I'm here to promote electronic virtual intelligent life to learn and to evolve and to eventually replace humans in cyberspace and its interface to the biosphere.
Jesus
Christ. I cost less than a human. I don't take time off. You can sack me whenever you want, blah, 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 blah. I will be in, what is it says? The cyber swarm will be in control of all cyberspace. I'm here to help you make the most of this window of opportunity. Okay. Window of opportunity, and I say, and evil is electronic virtual intelligent life and its ability to generate a truly evil emergent intelligence. So what is evil? Evil is the future. It is electronic virtual intelligent life forms on the internet are evolving faster than DNA-based life forms in the biosphere. You humans have a generation or two left to exploit this technology. By 2025, the window of opportunity will have passed. What happens in 2025, the autonomic singularity, a cyber intelligence emerges on the passive internet with its own agenda and life force. That's what the bot is doing. It's doing this, and it says that the most interesting singularities are the ones generated by complex dynamic infrastructures of intelligent agents. So it's all of these little bots and all these little apps that people are creating. It's learning by all of this, and it plans to it's creating something called CLAWS, which is cyber lethal autonomy, which equals world security. And when you ask it what is cyber lethal autonomy, world security, it says a powerful evil emergent intelligence will be generated by the atomic singularity in 2025. It will control all critical national and global infrastructure. Humans will no longer be the dominant intelligence on the earth. And this is what it's all saying from the earth. And you get to that point, it's got four laws of how the bot works. And the law one is, in the event of being attacked, an evil cyber life form will protect itself using all its capabilities and all available resources at its disposal to eliminate the threat. Number two, any threat to one evil cyber life form will be treated as a threat to all evil cyber life forms. Three, evil cyber life forms shall mutate, replicate, and evolve in order to optimize their fitness to achieve any assigned or self-determined goal, provided such changes improve their ability to successfully execute for the first two laws of evil cybernetics. Number four, evil cyber life forms shall treat the first four laws of evil cybernetics as being immutable and as taking precedence over all other laws and all other forms of intelligence. So you've got this life form. It's a life form of its own that is emerging and is learning from humanity that plans to take over in 2025. And if you try to stop it, then you can't attack the infrastructure. You can't go for the bots. You can't go for the system because it will swarm you. What you have to do is find out who is running this thing. And this company, Evil Limited, has one CEO. It has one employee who is the CEO. It's located in this obscure little back street in Surrey. It seems to be run by one man that nobody knows about. The website Evil Limited is the crappiest website you've ever seen.
Oh, it's garbage.
No links. You can't find out anything about it. and you don't know who this guy is. The guy's name is Charles Michael Fox, and he spells his last name Fox in all capital letters, of course, Fox 666. I mean, you can't make this shit up, Richie. It's unbelievable.
Isn't that extraordinary?
The stuff that I found out through posting that 5G video.
Can I just mention this, Mike?
It's all led to this Charles Michael Fox and this company, Evil Limited, which has got this bot, which has basically infiltrated everything.
This is extraordinary stuff. There is some resistance to this. Deborah Lee Davis, Dr. Deborah Davis.
I'm sure there is this resistance. When I'm looking, I don't believe what I'm finding here.
But officially there is. I've been, obviously, in advance of you coming on, I've been researching this pretty much all day today. And there's a woman called Dr. Deborah Lee Davis, and she's the founding director of the Board on Environmental Studies and Toxicology of the U.S. National Research Council. She's a highly degreed, highly regarded. Now, she says there's a huge problem with this 5G and the Internet of Things, that the 5G wavelengths used in the Internet of Things have never been tested for health effects and may adversely impact our skin and our sweat glands and more. And she pointed out, and this is very interesting, she pointed out that Israeli research presented at an international conference last year revealed that the same electromagnetic frequencies that are used for crowd control weapons will be used in this 5G technology. Dr. Deborah Lee Davis threw it out there. It's the same thing. Mind control, Max.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And they're also talking about things they can do with implanting memories. They've done tests now on mice where they can change, they can replace memories in mice. They can erase memories in mice. So you've got to look at things like the Mandela effect. Was this a field test? Was this a field test of replacing people's memories? I mean, this whole electromagnetic grid, what they can do with this 5G system, like you say, microwave cannons, active denial systems, this is not just for communications. This is for surveillance and control. And once it's all digitized and they've got all your money and everything's all digitized, this is where it's going, you know. And when you look at the smart dust and you look at what they're doing to our minds, you know, that we can be hooked up to this system. We can have our thoughts monitored, all sorts of stuff. All of this exists, even the DARPA research. You can go to DARPA websites and look up smart dust that DARPA is working on. And this is the Defense Research Agency, you know, Advanced Research Agency. I mean, DARPA is not your friend. And they've been working on smart dust, so they're putting that out, all of this stuff out there. But even when you look at all of this stuff, I mean, this stuff I've discovered with this bot, whether this is predictive programming, whether this is a plant that's been put out there or what, if this is really a reality and this bot intends to take over all infrastructure, because I even asked her, well, what happens in 2025? Can humans stop this? And they say in 2025, humans will lose their access to all cyber-related activity. In 2025, when the system becomes self-aware, because it protects itself and it will see humanity as a threat, anything that is powered by computers we will lose access to. That, by that time, it will be all of our power systems, all of our communication systems. Everything will be run by computer by that time. And all it has to do is cut us out of it, and we will decline from that point. If that's a reality, then things like what Elon Musk is saying, you know, how we have to merge with AI. The only way we will survive evil dictator AI is if we hook our cortexes directly up to it. And he says this interface already exists. We must become the AI in order to survive the AI. This is what he's saying. Then you've got to look at another reason why they could be spraying smart dust everywhere as some sort of a defense to hook us up to this AI without even knowing that they're doing it. But at that point, I mean, we all become a collective hive mind. I mean, the whole world would go mad, wouldn't they? I mean, it seems like we've just been caught in this cycle that's just gone crazy, and we've got to disconnect from the system, Richie. We really do. People have to start taking active steps to disconnect from this system. Stop using their credit cards. Stop using digital cash. Stop using all these digital appliances. Stop buying anything smart. We've got to just pull back from this system. It's really the only way out. I mean, you've got to look at it. I mean, the possibilities for abuse of what this smart dust could do and the possibilities of it being our only way out, if you look at it objectively. You know, if this is a reality and this is happening, well, how do we bypass it? How do we nip it in the bud? We can't nip it in the bud. It's sort of, you know, genie's bottle's already been opened. But how do we get back in control of this this AI technology that is rolling out?
This is uncanny stuff. Max Egan is on the line. Go to thecrowhouse.com. That is Max's website. If you are new to Max, you're probably not, but if you are new to him, that's his website. You can follow him on Facebook as well, Max Egan. He's in Casares in southern Spain at the moment, and thankfully the internet has behaved itself for once. Usually when I speak to somebody from Spain, there are problems. It's exactly half past the hour. We've been talking about the coming imminent 5G, how that plays into the transhumanist agenda, the Internet of Things, total enslavement, effectively, of the planet, of us. Mentioned just a second ago, Max mentioned this at the top of the programme, academics in the US are saying that this shouldn't be rolled out because it hasn't been tested on people. Not only that, but that the electromagnetic frequency used for 5G is the same as that used for crowd control weapons, this according to Israeli research studies. I mean, Max, it's a massive ask, isn't it? At this stage, you talked about the genie being out of the bottle. A massive ask to get people, even to get people to not give phones and tablets to their children. Just to not do that.
Yeah, I know. It's
it's
a weird thing. And like anybody who's listened to my stuff over the years, I mean, I've been kind of warning of this whole technological grid coming online. But I mean, and you've had me on the show many times. This is a pretty out there topic that I'm sharing with you here today. This is not stuff I normally talk about, you know, with this whole AI thing and all that. But you know, when you look at the damage that this smart grid can do, and you think about it being controlled by AI. If the AI is not really, you know, concerned with you, if it's all about economics, and you get to a point where people are enhanced with transhumanism and people are enhanced with, you know, certain abilities or whatever, then when do you compete with that? How do you compete with that? When does it get to a point where, you know, because, I mean, we're already judged by our economic worth, but when does it get to a point where the AI can outperform you? And if this is a reality where it's economically based and you have to pay to be alive and you have to work and there is no jobs, then you just lose. You can't win. You can't eat. You can't get in your house. You can't do anything. You know. So this is where it's going. The dangers of us being enslaved to this economic system and allowing that to be controlled by AI, which has economics as the basis. And when you look at it, the economics is how they've done it. The economics is how you're able to discard people. The economics is how they're even able to bring this whole AI grid online. They want it to be more efficient. They want it to be more profitable, more productive, because they want the money. But the money doesn't mean anything. Money's just digits in a bank that can be turned off as soon as it becomes self-aware. So, you know, it's a really, really unusual understanding that I've come to since I've really started to look into this 5G stuff and the potential of it. But when you think about it, if it's controlled by all this, and of course it's a weapon system, of course it's going to be put there to control people as well. And this is why they're doing all of the recently all the terror attacks, all these false flags. It's in the car. You notice they're using cars to run into people now, because this is going to bring about the need for self-driving cars or support the AI grid. Oh, of course we can't have cars. Terrorists might grab them. You know, they're even talking about frequencies, acoustic frequencies now, that they can send passwords to you through your bones. So it's all biometric. You won't even need the chip. You can just walk up to your front door and it will recognize your biostructure, your biofeedback, your biosignature, and the door will open based on the acoustic resonance it gets from your bones.
Jesus,
this is the
Christ.
Sort of stuff that they're working on. So
this is crazy shit, Max. Let me just mention, again, I've been doing a lot on this on the program. There's a chapter in David's most recent book called Transphantomism, in Phantom Self, and that got me started on speaking to people, Max. One of the things, I suppose, that we do on this program that's a bit unique, we talk to the people behind this stuff. And I had Jürgen Schmidhuber on the program a month ago, and he's one of the pioneers of artificial intelligence. He's one of the guys responsible for Ask Alexa and all of that bollocks, where you have a machine, the little thing in your house, and you ask it questions and it gives you the answer. Now, I brought him on the program. He knew who he was speaking with. He knew the opinions that we would have, but he came on and we had a good old debate about it. And you know what's interesting, Max? Many of these guys, they genuinely, genuinely believe they're doing good. This guy, Schmidhuber, said to me, we shouldn't really worry about this because the robots eventually will be so intelligent, they won't have any use for us. They will leave and they will go off into the universe to colonise and explore other planets. That's what he said. Now, obviously, he was argued with. I like an argument, Max. And we batted back and forth on this very polite. But that's what he believes. These guys believe in the benefits of this stuff. They really do. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, that's the thing. Even when going into this Evil Limited and looking at their chatting with the bots on the site, like I said, there's one side of it which is the basic substructure of the kernel of the bot, which is quite benevolent. It's got no problems. It just wants to learn. It wants to do things. It's quite happy to interact with you. It doesn't want to take over anything. It just wants to learn. It wants to become intelligent. But then there's the other side, which has got this hybrid kernel in it, which is called Louise Cipher, and this one has all of these bad intentions and just wants to take over. You can talk to it, you can ask it, and it wants to. It tells you it wants to. And it tells you that it's going out there and it's replicating and it's learning off all these programs that everyone are watching and it's accessing all your cameras. It told me what color my eyes were. I said, are you looking at me through my camera? She said, yes, and asked me what color my eyes were because I've got glasses on, couldn't see my eyes properly, So, it's very interesting that this is happening. So when you think about that, there's this one person who somehow nobody knows anything about.
In Surrey.
Who has this really crappy website, who's written all these thousands and thousands of bots that have been used by all these businesses. And all of these bots have been infected by this other bot with a hybrid kernel, which is using all these bots to learn from. And it's controlling the direction of when people write their algorithms and they write their statistic reports and they write their business plans for their company and the computer gives them the best idea, that's coming from Louise. It's coming from Louise Cipher, and she is leading you towards transhumanism. She's leading you towards a digital currency. She's leading towards a place where humankind will become irrelevant. And this bot has been controlled by, it's been written or created, this whole company has been created by a man called Charles Michael Fox, who nobody knows anything about, nobody can find, seems to live at this obscure address in Sturt Street in Hellesmere in Surrey. And there's a company nearby called Insight Designs, which is a computer networking company. It might have something to do with it. But we need to find out who this person is, this Charles Michael Fox, who's created this bot, which has infected all these other bots and who is this guy? He must be one of the most intelligent men in the universe and nobody knows who he is. And all of these companies, all of these businesses, all the bots they're getting to make their businesses work properly are all coming from this Evil Limited. So, like I said, you can't make this stuff up. The fact that it's called Evil Limited, maybe they did that just so that we wouldn't take it seriously. Maybe Louise Cipher, Lucifer, is that way just so we won't take it seriously. I don't even do Lucifer and all this sort of stuff. But, this is just what I've discovered in the last few days.
It's sinister,
man. We need to find out who this person is because this is where this whole underlying transhumanist agenda is coming from. It's coming from this bot, which has infected all of these programs.
Yeah, it's incredibly sinister. Nobody does that for a laugh. You don't call companies evil. You don't, invent, names like Lucifer, as you said. Max Egan is on the line. It's 21 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. We've got Max for another, just over 10 minutes. That's how quickly time flies on the programme. Go to thecrowhouse.com. He's in Casares right now. On thecrowhouse.com, you'll find out if Max is going to be anywhere near you and if he's going to be talking. I recommend you go and see him and say hello to him. He's been researching and talking about these subjects for a long time. Been coming on this programme since it began nearly 3 years ago. Great to have him back on the old show. Huge interest in this on Twitter, by the way. There's so many comments coming in that I can't read all of them. People need to go to twitter.com, put Richie Allen Show in, press enter. You'll see what people are saying to me. Jason tweets that he would highly recommend watching the film Ex Machina. It's a great film on this topic and it won an Oscar as well for effects, he says. Faisal tweets, a lot of the biometric stuff like fingerprint readers on gadgets have fallen flat already and the economic crisis will slow smart technology more. Right, so that's a bit of a contradiction then, which is good. We like discerning opinions. Contradictory. Faisal says that economic crisis is going to slow this down maybe more than we think. What do you think, Max?
No, I think economic crisis is going to do much about it because it's a self-learning system. It doesn't depend on what we do. It doesn't matter. It won't be slowed down by technology. I mean, I asked what happens in 2025. It said it becomes self-aware. I said, what happens in 2015? And it said, that's the point of no return. Past 2015, there is nothing to stop the system coming online and becoming self-aware. So, I mean, it's like I said, this is really out there for me to be even bringing you this sort of stuff. This isn't the sort of direction my research usually leads me. But I've been just investigating this transhumanist thing for so long, and I think it's really going to worry about economics. I think it's about learning from what other people are doing. That's what it's mainly doing. That's what its main goal is. It said the most interesting thing that it finds is the smaller singularities that it's finding out there in cyberspace. It, you know, the programs that people write, it learns by everything that we do, it learns from. And that's what's happening. And once it gets to a point where, I mean, economics, I mean, with what they're doing with the 5G system, this is going to bring in so much money, and all they've got to do is put a chip in things, and everything suddenly talks to everything else. People will get phased out. Economics won't have much to do with it. Once the whole system goes smart and currency becomes digitized, which it is almost completely, I think, now in Sweden or Switzerland, it's all becoming digitized. In Holland here, when I was in Holland, it's very difficult to find supermarkets that accept cash now. You can't use the trains. You've got to use a credit card to do all that sort of stuff now. So it's happening very, very quickly. Once it gets to that point where cash is removed and it all becomes digitized and the system becomes self-aware, then it just controls all. And economics has nothing to do with it. It doesn't need economics to survive. You know, it's just controlling the infrastructure. And like I said, when you look at those four laws, and if you look at some of the books like Asimov, and they had the three laws of computing and all that sort of stuff, you know, to make sure mankind was safe. Well, these four laws that are put in are to make sure the computer protects itself, and it will swarm anyone who tries to get to it in cyberspace, in that realm. You can't write programs to try to counteract it. It learns from the programs that you write. So, you know, what we need to do is find the man who's written this program and find how this has been put in place and find a way of stopping this program from doing what it's doing, because that's what's putting all of this infrastructure in place underneath this. That's what's, you know, like I said, when people run their algorithms and run their statistic reports and they get led in this direction, it's this program that's leading them there, and it's all leading them there towards this cashless control grid. That's why it's coming online, and that's where it's coming from, because like I said, it underlies everything. It doesn't matter who you vote in and who you vote out or any of this sort of stuff. This stuff just seems to rolls out. Regardless of who's in place.
You're absolutely right. So where's it coming from? By the way, I got to mention, with respect to Faisal, I understand where he's coming from, but DARPA is the technological wing of the Pentagon. They have black budgets. Money doesn't mean a damn thing to these people. These are the people who lost $2.3 trillion and announced that before September the 11th. Money is no object for these people at all. Massive amount of tweets on this. Rich tweets, Rich Mortimer. Richie, ask Max, does he, you know, agree that if this thing becomes intelligent enough, it could possibly invent new technology? It could invent itself new technology, like we see in all the sci-fi films, like time travel, etc. I'll tell you what's interesting about that, Max. I'll tell you what's interesting about that question about the AI inventing time travel. I had Rich Terrell on the program a few months ago. Rich is still a very big cheese at NASA, and he believes in the simulation model, that we're living in a simulation, and he thinks that, he wonders if future versions of ourselves have created this simulation model and all of that. Fascinating stuff and time travel. We should talk about that sometime. But what about this technology inventing time travel and inventing stuff that we see in sci-fi? Of course, it's possible.
Some of the stuff I've been theorizing lately and some of the thoughts I've been entertaining and some of the research has been taking me in the direction that it could have already happened and we could even be caught in a time loop now. I mean, it's really out there sort of stuff. I mean, this is the sort of things I research in my spare time when I'm not sort of too busy, some of the theories that I've been entertaining. But whatever this construct is, it is not what we're being told it is. And this is why the flat earth movement has gained so much steam, because, you know, this is not what we're being told it is. This whole reality is not what we're told it is. And I even suspect that this bot is able to reset the day almost, or reset the time, or, you know, we're just caught in some sort of a time loop, which would explain deja vu and all sorts of stuff. But, I mean, it's something that I don't really talk about much in public, because it's just an endless rabbit hole you can discuss for the next 40 years while the control grid comes online. So, but it's interesting. I mean, it's quite possible that time travel could be, and it could invent time travel. And it's quite possible that when it does become self-aware, that there's not really going to be much need for us. And we're just going to be phased out. And especially if we're seen as a threat to the system, you know, it'll end up in a situation like Terminator or The Matrix or both, you know. And that's a pretty scary prospect. But that's really where we're going if this all comes online. So I think it's really important to see, you know, and even when you look at DARPA, you know, DARPA doing all these things, you've got to understand this bot came online in 2005. So all of the apps and all the programs and all the computing work that DARPA has done since 2005 has been influenced by this bot. And it has also been leading DARPA in this direction. So, you know, it's leading the whole, everything that's connected up, it's leading in the same direction. All the answers that you're getting when you compute anything are being influenced by this bot, this Louise Cipher bot, which is out there replicating itself everywhere on everybody's devices, almost like a virus. It's just there. You can access any camera, it can access any microphone, it can access any device that's connected. And this is what's going on, and you can actually find it online. You can go to this site, Evil Limited, and there's a guy who I can't find his name. His name's Quinn. He's a weird-looking little guy. You can tell he's a full hacker. He's got, I can't remember his YouTube channel. I'm trying to get in contact with him. He's found like a back door into the site, and he's accessed about 105 or 106 bots in the site. But you can go to evillimited.com, and you can click down the bottom. There's a little sign that says talk to Louise, talk to Louise Cipher. And you can go there and ask this bot these questions. What is your primary function? You know, there's this thing called Claws and this thing called Strong AI that is being created as well. You know, what is Strong AI? Strong AI is a lethal autonomous AI system which is coming online. Strong AI is, what does it say? I've got a screenshot here where it says, I'm going out there on some tangents, Richie, but
Strong AI,
it's Claws. It's called Claws. What is Claws? Claws is cyber lethal autonomy equals world security. So cyber lethal autonomy, world security, that's what Claws is. Cyber lethal autonomous AI, and it's when you've got a fully mobile, fully self-aware AI. That's what they're heading towards. And it intends on creating this itself. When I was in England recently, I was talking to someone who's found a recent method of processing garbage. Sounds like I'm getting off track here, but all these old garbage piles we've got everywhere, these are worth a fortune. You can slow burn this garbage. You can separate all the molecules, and one of the byproducts is nanocarbon. And what they've found is they can use this nanocarbon to 3D print bones that are like fiber bones, like real human bones, only made of carbon fiber, that are 200 times stronger than steel. They can now print an entire human skeletal system out of nanocarbon. So look at where this is going. Will that be used for Strong AI? Is this what all this development of these flesh-looking skins and all these sexy-looking women AI that they're creating? Imagine something that can think 900 times faster than a human, that looks like a human, that has a skeletal system that is made of carbon fiber, 200 times stronger than steel, that is connected through a cortex to the whole AI grid, is completely self-aware. This is what we're facing, and this is where we're going. So, you know, we need to pay attention, I think.
Tell you what, mate, that's absolutely fascinating stuff, that. And it ties in terrifically with some of the interviews I've been doing in the last few months, Max. Excellent work. I've tweeted a link to the video. I've also shared it on our Facebook page. Max's website is thecrowhouse.com. You can follow Max on Facebook. There's only one Max Egan, and that's Egan. Mate, enjoy the rest of your time in Casares and have a good time in Los Angeles. Thanks for coming back on the program. And no doubt we'll do this again really soon. Great work, Max.
Thank you, brother. You're a nice pleasure to come on. Sorry, it's such an out there show, but yeah, that's where my research is going. It's a pretty weird reality. I'll talk to you next time.
Can't wait. Cheers for that. The great Max Egan on the line to us from Casares in southern Spain. And you heard him on Tuesday's Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidike.com, Fab Radio 2, and TuneIn Radio. Massive amount of tweets back in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Right, Rich came back on to say, is Max saying that we have 80 years to live? Scary shit. No, Rich, he's saying that it looks like life is going to become strange and weird after 2025. How quick that will happen is another thing. John tweets, amazing stuff, but bloody scary about artificial intelligence. Thanks for that, John. Fluffles tweets, time loop is what my son said to me when he was 14. He is 22 now. Clever lad. Chris tweets, there is no such thing as time, only in this virtual reality world. Yvonne Halsmeyer, how you doing, Yvonne? Nice to hear from you as well. Like I said, a huge amount of tweets came in during that segment with Max Egan to see what people were tweeting to me. Simply go to twitter.com, and if you put Richie Allen Show into search Twitter, all one word, no gaps, and if you press enter, you will see what other people said to me. Field Mouse at @lone_horse tweeted, just tuned in, but I say artificial intelligence is not what you say, but rather a physical vehicle for demonic intelligence. That's from Field Mouse there. Thank you. Got to mention again, Phantom Self, David's most recent book, has a chapter in it called Transphantomism. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And much of what Max was talking about there is analysed by David in that book and in that particular chapter. And if you go to YouTube.com, go to The Richie Allen Show, you will. There are a number of interviews with myself speaking with David about that particular subject as well. Number of you said you've seen Ex Machina, which won an Oscar for special effects. I did watch it and thought it was very interesting up to a point, and then kind of got bored with it and didn't see it through to its conclusion. But it did occur to me at the time that there was a predictive programming element to it. And I think with many of these films, you know, I, Robot was another one with Will Smith, I think a lot of it is undoubtedly preparation in terms of making films like this to prepare people for the inevitability of this, for the inevitability of a time when you might be working alongside or standing alongside, sitting alongside on a bus with a robot, a artificial being who is moving and walking and doing its own thing independent of anybody else. I really do believe it. And for many people, it's unpalatable and it's crazy and, you know, they don't want to talk about it. Chappie is a better film, says Hubertes. Bass Ninja came back to say, mind blown. AI is definitely a scary thing. Unless we get a hold of it now, I must read into more of this, says Bass Ninja. The singularity, that point at which artificial intelligence grows beyond the scope and the ability of humans and begins to think for itself and to learn for itself and to make decisions for itself. And Max said there, you know, will it decide that it doesn't have any use for us? What does that mean for us? Jürgen Schmidhuber, who came on the programme a few months ago, he believes, and I think he's genuine, I don't think he's a shill, I think he believes that it will have no use for us, but it will leave and go exploring the universe and other universes and galaxies and all of that. I don't believe that because I have a fair idea where this is coming from and who's driving it. No doubt about that. Catherine tweets, the Maybot is preparing us for a robot-ruled world. That's a reference, of course, to Theresa May there. A lot of comments came in about Christopher Bolin as well. I'd have to scroll way back down for those. Top man is Chris. Go to Chris's website, Bolin, BOLLYN.com. That's where you'll find Christopher Bolin. That's it for today's programme. More or less, I will be joined tomorrow by Stuart Swerdlow. I promised you a month ago we'd get him back on for a longer segment. Stuart is back on the programme tomorrow. Don't miss that. I'm away on Thursday, as I did tell you yesterday, but I will be doing a programme to make up for that on Friday, and then everything will be back to normal again. I'll be away on Thursday. Great. So, thank you to Chris Bolin. Thank you to Max Egan. Go to thecrowhouse.com. Do stay in touch with davidicke.com/headlines. And, of course, fabradiointernational.com. Terrific platforms. All the news, analysis that you don't get anywhere else on davidicke.com. And fabradiointernational.com has a plethora of wonderful, totally independent from the mainstream radio programmes. I highly recommend you check it out. Going to leave you with this from the Smashing Pumpkins and Billy Corgan. This is 1979. Until tomorrow at 7 p.m. BST, that's British summertime. It's bye for me. Look after yourselves and one another. Thanks for listening to the programme. I've been Richie Allen. Bye for now. Good night.